All right, we teased going into the break that we'd be talking a little hurricane preparedness from an industry standpoint, and the Louisiana Chemical Association's Greg Bowser is in the house with us. Greg, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. Doing well. You know, it's hurricane season. Everybody's got to get ready. And, you know, the things about hurricanes is that you have some time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it coming. And so accurate predictions, and we just try to get ready for them.
You know, the crazy thing, though, is like staying aware while not being alarmed.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are certain levels of... We basically report on it daily here, what's out there, whether it's something that's going to hit us or not, just to be aware of it without causing panic, without causing alarm, and an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of our companies have procedures that they go through when you start talking about a hurricane. One's out in the Gulf. If there's one on the way, they have a lot of things that they do to kind of batten down the hatches. They bring down the facility. They don't produce as much.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them go into what they call island mode.
Okay.
Basically, what that is if they're taking electricity from the grid, they disconnect from the grid, produce their own electricity, and just kind of idle. And they don't really produce product. They just kind of circulate stuff within the system.
Okay.
That prevents, if anything happens, you don't have a lot of stuff spilled into the atmosphere.
Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association is our guest. Hey, what does that do to the market?
You know, it depends on how quickly they can come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a facility gets destroyed in the market, it gets destroyed and the product can't get to the market, that's when you have a problem. That happened a while back. We had a facility over in Lake Charles, which made a lot of the chlorine tablets for swimming pools.
Okay.
They went down, and they were down for some time, and we saw the price of chlorine tablets just go through the roof because this one little plant was supplying so much chlorine tablets to the market.
There was a recent op-ed, and I hate to just like hit you with this without at least letting you read it first. Did you see Russell Honoré's op-ed?
I did.
I'm gonna get your takeaway, but for the audience's perspective, Russell Honoré says 18 years ago, Hurricane Katrina ripped through New Orleans, overpowering the city's levees and destroying entire communities. As leader of Joint Task Force Katrina, I saw the devastating force of nature and the high cost of being caught unprepared. Now hurricane season is here again. And according to NPR climate correspondent Rebecca Hersher, even if El Nino makes this hurricane season a milder one, storms will continue to become more frequent and on average more severe with each passing season. He goes on from there to say that the chemical plants in Louisiana are explosive and could be a ticking time bomb this season. Two things. Let's start with this. What were your takeaways from his op-ed?
That was a guy that was trying to generate hysteria and trying to generate people getting excited about something that is very rare to happen. He mentioned Katrina. Of all the stuff that happened in Katrina, there was no chemical plant that spilled anything.
Correct.
And when you look back at the hurricanes we've had, all of the problems that have come from the hurricanes have been from floods and things that people have in their homes they can't get in, things like that. You hadn't had a plant that blew up or because of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's unfortunate that Russell Honoré chose to do that. But, you know, everybody can say whatever they want.
Follow-up question. This is not Russell Honoré's first, I'll call it an attack. This is not Russell Honoré's first attack on the chemical industry in Louisiana. Does he have an in for y'all?
Well, I think he has an agenda. And, you know, everybody has their own agenda, and he's trying to push that forward. All we can do is talk about the facts and talk about what's really there, what's real, what you can prove and show people, things that are going on. He doesn't have to play by those rules. He can throw things out there, and whether it's true or not, it gets it out into the world, and that's kind of what he does, you know. And, you know, all I can do is wish him well.
Well, for a guy who got famous with the phrase stuck on stupid,
I didn't say
it. You know what? I'm not going to finish that sentence. No, 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 no.
I'm not going to finish. You know. But look, you know, I think that what we have to do is offer really good information to people so they can make solid decisions and planning. And so that's what we do in our industry. We plan ahead of time. We have companies that subscribe to their own hurricane search organizations, people that track these things. And so they're way out in front of them, so they know what's coming. If it's a category 3, you have procedures to be in place. If it's a 4, you have procedures that you put in place. And most of that starts real early, Brian. I mean, they start doing that really early. Some of them even, you know, they shutter a plant down and they have what they call ride out crews. They have crews that will stay at the facility in a designated area so that when a hurricane passes, they can bring the plant back up as quickly as possible. Now, We're probably the most highly regulated industry in America, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as the regulations are clear, science-based, and everybody knows what the rules are.
There was, during Hurricane Laura, I want to say something that happened on the west side of Lake Charles that, oh, man, my brain is not firing on all cylinders right now to come up with the name of the place. There was a fire there, but it was not an extended period of time. It was not an elongated shutdown, and it didn't affect the community except for, like, a brief air monitoring lockdown within a few miles radius.
Yeah, and what happened in that the facility you're talking about when that happened, the reason it was minimized was because of the shutdown, the ride-out crews that were there.
Yeah.
The plant was not left abandoned.
Yeah.
It was not running, but it was not left abandoned. They left the crew there, and when something happened, they were able to get there and get it under control.
We're talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. We're going to get a whole state of the industry in a little bit, maybe a little bit of a recap of the recent legislative session as well. But I just it was funny to see. I shouldn't say funny. That's not the right word. But for Russell Honoré, he took a swing calling the chemical plants racist, which, how'd that feel?
Listen, you know, all I can say is this. You know, you look at the number of African-American folks that we have working in our industry. It's tremendous. You know, just a real quick story. I went to a wedding this weekend of a young man that was a chemical engineer from LSU that worked for us, interned for us, and when I worked on our facilities. And so he got married this weekend. I had an opportunity to sit at a table with probably about 6 to 8 people, mm-hmm. really young people, young for me anyway, 25 to 28 year old. And these were all young African-American engineers, chemical and mechanical engineers.
Yeah.
That all of them work in our plants, in our facilities. And to listen to those people talk about what they do and how great it is and how they enjoy it, it was really amazing. I wish I could have recorded it.
Yeah.
And so when I got back,
those stories need to be told.
Yeah.
It's not something that's going to hit the headlines because it's not clickbait.
No, it's not. And when I left, I told my wife, I said, you know, we need to record that. We need to get those people in the studio and talk about, you know, what they've gone through and what they're doing and how they enjoy their jobs and what they do. African Americans work in this industry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we have work to do? Yeah, we probably do, but everybody does.
Yeah.
And
so in every industry.
Yeah. So that's my take on that.
Getting back to the hurricane preparedness part of this, I mean, you know, systems, best standards of practices, they're tried, they're refined, they're tried, they're refined. I mean, this many years doing what LCA does and doing what all the members of LCA do, you've gotten pretty good at it.
Yeah, they've gotten really good at it, and they've invested a lot into it. You know, one of the things you have to remember when people make investments, if you all the technology that we have today, you're not going to spend billions of dollars and put that in harm's way with no way to protect it.
Right.
And you're not going to spend all the money on your precious resources, which is your employees, and put them in harm's way and expect to be able to continue to operate. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, I think that people can rest assured that EPA, DEQ are going to be doing their jobs as regulators to make sure that things are done right. We as companies, as we operate, we're going to make sure we're doing things right because it's in our best interest, both personally from our employee standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint.
Stepping outside of, we talked about the plans within the plant. Stepping outside, it is, you know, the chemical industry in Louisiana is a big industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money heading towards the state. Mm-hmm. Coordination with the state's got to be taking care of the plants first and foremost. Coordination with the state has got to be a top priority. Talk to me a little bit about the work with GOSEP. Through the process.
Yeah, through the process. We work with GOSEP. We work with the Department of Environmental Quality. We work with all of those guys. And then what GOSEP does is when there's an emergency, those folks, all experts, all get together. And LCA and our industry, we're part of that. So we have people that are involved with GOSEP. They know the plans that we have,
mm-hmm.
what are the emergency plans, how we're going to get through all of that. And so that's important. And I think that's a good thing is that we all work together with the outside regulated community.
What's the work? What's the communication lines on the way back? I mean, from LCA up to GOSEP is one thing, but GOSEP staying on the forefront to make sure they're in touch with y'all.
Yeah, there's two-way communications to make sure that we know what's going on and that we get the directive from them when it's okay to do something, what they see happening, not just with our facility, but they keep an eye on what's happening around us, and that's the big thing.
We're talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. Outside of that, there's a lot of standards that LCA or the different chemical plants throughout, there's a lot of standards that they have that we see in a number of different industries. How much of the coordination on y'all's end has the same operating procedures up and down the river, or throughout the state, I should say?
Well, a lot of them have, it depends on where you're located. It changes, depends on the operation, and it depends on what the threat is. If you know the different levels as you go through that, and that's what changes. But as far as the communications going back and forth, it's kind of it's like a football team. Everybody has to know on the offensive side. Everybody has to know what the other one's doing.
Yeah.
You have to know what the play is.
Yep.
You have to know whether it's a pass or run. That depends on what you're going to do, and that's how they do it.
Want to shift gears here a little bit. I want to make sure we at least cover a little bit of the recently, I say recently, it's now over a month, concluded legislative session. I haven't talked to you since then.
Yeah.
I wanted to get an update from you. What is the state of affairs at the conclusion of the session?
Well, I think the session was one that was focused primarily on a lot of things that didn't involve us. But the things that did involve us was one of the big ones was carbon capture and storage. There were some bills that were introduced. What we thought were bad bills that wanted to either restrict or deny carbon capture and storage in Louisiana, those did not pass.
Mm-hmm.
There was one bill that we did not oppose, which was by the Speaker of the House, Clay Shakeschneider, which basically had a lot of notice provisions in it.
Yeah.
And so we were fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think you need to notify people in communities if you're going to come in and do any kind of work. And so it did that and laid out a plan for that and how we would move forward in the state of Louisiana.
Greg Bowser with the Louisiana Chemical Association is our guest. Carbon capture is in a weird space right now.
It is.
It's in a weird space right now because it's science and technology we've used in other areas. Mm-hmm. Science and technology that's been around for a while. But it's science and technology that hasn't been in the headlines, hasn't been in our day-to-day conversations, hasn't been at the forefront. So it's only natural that a number of local residents who find out something's going to be happening in their backyard are going to have a number of questions. And it's going to take some explanation to get through.
I think it will take explanation to get through. It's like anything that's new. You have to really go through really slowly, step by step, and explain to people what it is, what's the long-term effect. And I think that's where the carbon capture issue has a problem, is that I can't tell you. I can tell you from a scientific standpoint mm-hmm. what I think the long-term effects are going to be in 20 years. But, you know, to tell me that you're going to put that in my backyard and 20 years from now, you might be right. I don't know. And so that's the things that we've got to get people comfortable with. And understanding what you just said is the fact that we've been doing this for a long time. It's just now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, and I think the part that convinced me was when it was explained that the same science and technology has been used when pumping oil out of the ground. It's the same process, same procedures, and, well, that hasn't been much of a problem.
No,
as far as the pumping's concerned.
That's right.
Any problem we've seen from oil and gas has been in the transportation.
Yeah. So it's like, again, it's been in effect. We've been using it in all industry for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think this is new, and I think it's all part of the environmental movement, and people are just leery of anything new that they don't understand. And, you know, and I have to say, as an industry, I think we didn't do a really good job on the front end of really explaining it.
Right.
I think we assumed that people were going to get it because we've been doing it so long. For us, it wasn't new. But I think we have to really explain what's going on in the process and how it works.
Well, you know, when the headlines start coming out, it's going to be, look, this for-profit businesses, mm-hmm. there's money to be made here. And the money ends up trumping the science and creating the fear.
Correct. And so, that's the thing that people have to be comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think we've got to talk them through that. And we really need to take our time and do that. That's one of the things that I really enjoyed doing this legislative session was that, you know, I got a chance to get to educate myself more on the issue because some of the experts from companies came down and talked about how it really works and how they do it. I had a general idea, but after talking to them, you know, I became more comfortable with it.
We got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
There's no way we don't talk LSU football while you're here. I mean, so, okay, Rotary Club today.
Today, Brian Kelly, Rotary Club, South Stadium Club.
Yes. Yes, South Stadium. You'll be there?
I'll be there.
I'll be there as well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. What do you think we're going to hear from them today?
I think we're going to hear how great they're going to be. Mm-hmm. I expect them to say we're going to be 12-0.
Brian Kelly.
No, he's not going to say that. But I think we'll get an update as to where he thinks his team is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're in a good place. You know, they came off of a season that was magical last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I remember talking to to a friend of mine out there that works at LSU. And I looked at him at the end of the season. I said, you know, y'all really screwed up. And he said, what? I said, this was your first year.
Yeah.
And this is what you did. You got to go up from here.
I mean, if you're going to tank, that's the time to do
you
it,
You
got to
go up from here, man. You can't, you know. So, you know, I think it's tremendous. I'm really looking forward to the season. You know, anything less than 9 wins, I think is going to be disappointing.
Same. Yeah. Same. I think 10's reasonable. I think beyond 10 is even possible.
Yeah. You look at everybody else. LSU is one of the few teams that in the Southeastern Conference in the country that has their quarterback coming back. And that's a big, big, big plus.
So I'm not comparing Jaden Daniels to Joe Burrow. But we remember how that played out. First-year Burrow versus second-year Burrow. First-year Daniels versus second-year Daniels. He's got a stacked backfield behind him. More trust in his receivers to pull the trigger this year. I don't know. I'm having trouble staying contained.
It's tough to stay contained, especially coaching his second year, because, you know, the second-year times, you know, look at women's basketball, second year, won a national championship. Men's baseball, second year, won the national championship. This is year two.
I mean, Brian Kelly's going to be looking at Kim Mulkey and Jay Johnson like, you two. You two, I swear. Thanks.
Yeah, that's right. Got to win. Got to win.
Here's Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. I always appreciate the visit, man.
Oh, man, it's good to be here and, you know, get out. And it's that time of year, you know, getting ready for football. It's exciting.
I know. Countdown's on.
I'll see you at noon.
Yes, we will see you over at the Rotary Club.